we've learned anything from these past couple of years, my fellow Americans, it's that personal medical freedom and liberty are in crisis. America Out Loud Pulse brings together the top experts in healthcare-related fields to keep you a beat ahead.
This is Dr. Peter Bregan. I'm a psychiatrist, and I'm with my wife, Ginger Bregan.
This is Ginger Bregan.
She is a journalist, a researcher, a brilliant analyst of world affairs who constantly startles me and embarrasses me by having better ideas than I do. It's a wonder that we've made it together with such disadvantages that I have. God bless you, Ginger Bregan. We're both struggling with exhaustion as we face, we'll talk a little bit more about this later on, one of the greatest threats of all time to America's sovereignty, which is a series of amendments from the Biden administration empowering the World Health Organization to become a dictatorship of global health. We'll tell you more about this later in the show. Today we have on Peter A. McCullough, MD, PhD, and I will tell you lots about him, and John Leek. They are the co-authors now. I want to get right to their new book, which you can buy on Amazon.com, and it is The Courage to Face COVID-19, Preventing Hospital Hospitalization and Death While Battling the Biopharmaceutical Complex. Peter McCullough is a hero of mine, a friend of mine, a loved one of ours, who has been the most outstanding scientist and physician in the world since the start of COVID-19. Before that, Peter McCullough was an extremely successful researcher with over 600 publications, an administrator of large hospital facility, the editor-in-chief of journals, a man of remarkable standing in the medical profession. In all of history, few such men have stood up at any time and risked such well-developed identities in order to speak truth to oppressors. You could look through the history of Nazi Germany and find that physicians were among the most well-represented of the oppressors. You can look back through American history and find few, but occasionally some great physicians who have stood up for the Republic and for freedom. Peter McCullough has risked all to become, I would say, he's like the Statue of Liberty of this freedom movement. He has over 50 publications, maybe 60 publications, just on COVID-19. He has the kind of respect that makes his name almost a code word for being somebody who has put their lives and their identities at stake in fighting for America's freedom at this point in time. The code word is I know Peter McCullough. And I say that with a smile, but it is the absolute 100% truth. He has a new book out. And as I've mentioned to you, the co-author of that book is John Leek. John is a true crime author. He's a student of history and philosophy. He has a book called Entering Hades, which was an important book in the New York Times Sunday Book Review and a national bestseller. He's got another book, Cold a Long Time, which won awards in Austria, where his work is especially well known, but he is a good red-blooded American. I want to thank both of you for being on this show. And again, their book is The Courage to Face COVID-19, Preventing Hospitalization and Death While Battling the Biopharmaceutical Complex. It is the newest and probably going to be one of the most authoritative books, certainly with the most authoritative author, Peter McCullough. It's available now on Amazon. They did a rush job. We're waiting for our copy with great excitement. Welcome to the show, Peter McCullough and John League.
Thank you, Dr. Bregan. So great to be back on the program on the other side of the microphone from the McCullough Report that many of your listeners pick up on the weekend. Our new book, The Courage to Face COVID-19, Preventing Hospitalization and Death While Battling the Biopharmaceutical Complex, has chapter 37 in it, The Conscience of Psychiatry. And it does talk about a young, handsome man graduated from Harvard College and then Case Western Reserve Medical School. And it's Dr. Peter Bregan. And it really was an absolute pleasure to work with best-selling author John Leake. And we're happy to announce we're among the top bestsellers now in viral diseases, communicable diseases, and actually organized crime on Amazon. So I'll let John take it from there.
John, as John gets ready to take it from there, I want to mention that we are from America Out Loud. I didn't mention our tremendous relationship with America Out Loud. And this show is part of the weekly 5 o'clock special on the latest in medicine and science, speaking truth to power.
Called The Pulse.
And it's called The Pulse, America Out Loud, The Pulse. And Peter McCullough does the Wednesday 5 o'clock show with Malcolm, who is the leader of all of us on America Out Loud. And we do the 5 o'clock on Thursday show. John Leake, are you there?
Yes, sir. I'm here. Thank you so much, Dr. Bregan and Ginger. It's a great pleasure to be here with Dr. McCullough. Yes, as you mentioned, I'm a true crime author. I've approached this gigantic disaster of a story from the perspective of an investigative author. Both of my first books had strong forensic medical components. I spent a lot of time at the Vienna Institute of Forensic Medicine interviewing pathologists. I actually did some translation work for a pathologist at the Vienna Institute of Forensic Medicine. And so when SARS-CoV-2 arrived in the United States, I began to examine the unfolding story. And I found that it seemed to have elements. It seemed to me that it was shaping up to be a great, if terrible, true crime story. I sensed distinct elements of fraudulent misrepresentation in the way this was being presented to the public. And in this suppression of early treatment, which we go into in our book, I perceived that there were criminal elements of something along the lines of negligent homicide, preventing sick people from accessing drugs, discouraging them from accessing drugs that could help them, I perceived to be a crime. But I wanted real top medical expertise, and it's a very strange turn of events. I was telling Dr. McCullough yesterday, you know, initially it was sort of instinctive feeling my way along. You know, how do I find a medical man who could help me to interpret this? Where do I find him? And what was remarkable, astonishing, I would say, was the discovery that the absolute top medical guy who not only had a fabled medical career under his belt, but was really doing the pioneering work in learning how to treat COVID-19 and then writing about treating COVID-19 in the medical literature. Turns out he's not in Paris or Boston, Mass General or Cambridge, Massachusetts. He's 2 miles from my family home. So I got in touch with Dr. McCullough, and I'm still amazed, given his high profile, how trusting he was. He was very trusting, very agreeable. We met for a studio interview in downtown Dallas. It was an electrifying interview. The video production team just thought it was really one of the most, he was one of the most remarkable guys who'd ever sat in the chair in the studio. We immediately posted it uncut for the world to see on YouTube, and it was taken down an hour later.
Oh, my.
So the best laid plans, you know, we thought we were going to release this marvelous interview on the world's biggest video platform, but quickly the empire struck back and removed it. So at that point, I realized, okay, we're in the midst of something that's really a global struggle with a massive element of censorship, suppression of medical information. And so that then led into this book. And here we are almost exactly a year later talking about our book with Dr. Bragan and Ginger Bragan. So thank you again.
John, where did that video end up being put up, or is it down?
It is up. It is on a very fine video platform called Vimeo.
Oh, Vimeo. Okay.
Vimeo. Vimeo is a fine technical, you know, they actually do a beautiful job of displaying their videos, but it just doesn't, I mean, as we've discovered in this battle, there we have become dependent on certain communication platforms, and our dependency has been something of a hazard, because with this dependency comes the ability, you know, the high risk of being censored. And so we talk a lot about that in our book. I my formal training is in political philosophy, and I don't know about you, ladies and gentlemen, but I just would have never have guessed when I graduated from graduate school 25 years ago that the United States of America would be visited with this plague of this cancer of censorship. So this is part of the story, I think.
Good night. So you're going to be talking about what is really overall going on in America today.
Yes, sir. That is a big part of the story. Now, you know, I think what's fascinating, and Dr. McCullough made the same observation to me in our first dinner to discuss collaborating on a book. He said, you know, you've been studying this stuff and you've been investigating and trying to discover what on earth is going on here. He said, you know, you're not the only one who's been examining this. He said, I've had numerous conversations, interviews, sort of collaborative discussions with a really fine researcher. He comes out of psychiatry, Peter Bragan. He also is writing a book about this. And then Dr. McCullough told me, this was about a year ago, he said, and Robert F. Kennedy Jr. is also researching and writing a book about this. And he said, you know, all three of you guys, independently of one another, have ascertained and you know, developed a certain picture of what's going on. He said, Dr. Bragan has probably done the most encyclopedic job of documenting all of the ins and outs of this international biopharmaceutical complex. But Robert F. Kennedy has also done a monumental work of scholarship. And he said, you know, that all three of you guys are in many ways arriving at some of the same, you know, points of conclusion, suggests that, you know, you're all seeing the same phenomena, because it's real. I mean, these things are visible. They're actually rather out in the open. You just need to have your eyes open and be looking in the right places. And it, you know, it's all there. This is just one thing that I have marveled at is that, you know, we talk about conspiracy theories and clandestine meetings and so forth. Not in this story. This is all just out in the open. So I think there will be a growing awareness of what mankind is up against. It's just, you know, a matter of spreading the word.
I want to say Robert F. Kennedy's book is The Real Anthony Fauci, and it's a bestseller, and does an amazing job at looking at how Fauci has done the same thing over again that he did originally with the AIDS epidemic, withholding good treatments and telling people to wait for vaccines while people died. There was, interestingly enough, far more outcry at that point. I mean, he was literally subject to a mass invasion of NIH by a group of peaceful people demanding that he allow treatment for AIDS to go on. And our book is COVID-19 and the Global Predators, Ginger and I, authors of it, COVID-19 and the Global Predators, We Are the Prey. And it's a bestseller, too. And you can get our book on Amazon.com. And also, if you would like to support independent institutions so that we don't have to rely on Amazon and YouTube, you can get our book at a discount from us directly at wearethepray.com. Something we have in common is that our book, 45 minutes after I described our book on a video on our YouTube channel, 45 minutes after, the same amount of time, they took down our entire channel.
Well, we'd been bad a couple of times before.
Yeah, but we were still living and we were allowed to start putting up stuff again. And we had no strikes against us anymore. We were free and clean.
That's right. We were out of YouTube jail.
And I figured we got one shot. I did the video, short video on COVID-19 and the Global Predators, and they had it down in 45 minutes. We have 40 seconds left. Peter McCullough, when we come back, do you want to talk about the monkeypox and other immediate things going on in a big world of medicine?
Yeah, I have a quick update on COVID-19, the current upswing in cases, and we do need to give mention to monkeypox since it's really hit us now, as in this 1-2 punch of viral attacks on the country.
Well, good. We'll be back in about a few seconds and take a brief break now. Thank you, Peter McCullough and John Leake, for being with us today. Amazing folks.
Let's get real. Let's get loud. On America Out Loud Talk Radio, this is the McCullough Report. Are you tired of being tired? Fall asleep, stay asleep, sleep deeply, and wake up refreshed with Healthy Cells REM Sleep Supplement. These are pill-free supplements in a gel pack. They're so easy to take before you go to bed. I'm so tired during the day now, working so hard, but restless at the same time. I'm going to take a Healthy Cell before sleep tonight so I can restore my REM sleep and wake up refreshed. Now go to HealthyCell.com, use the code OUTLOUD for a 20% off your first order of any product. Let's get real, let's get loud on America Out Loud Talk Radio.
Trouble getting to sleep and staying asleep can be infuriating. Your mind races, you toss and turn, and the harder you try, the harder it is to drift off. And today's digital age makes it even harder. You're not alone with this struggle. Poor sleep affects over 70% of Americans. Even the Centers for Disease Control label insufficient sleep a public health epidemic. To take back your sleep, Healthy Cell has created REM Sleep, the only sleep supplement made to support all four stages of human sleep with calming herbs, amino acids, and sleep hormone support, delivered in a patent-pending, pill-free, ultra-absorption microgel formula that tastes great. Fall asleep, stay asleep, sleep deeply, and wake up refreshed with Healthy Cell's REM Sleep. Go to HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off your first order. That's HealthyCell.com, HealthyCell, and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
Here on America Out Loud, we emphasize optimal health, and air is the most essential element for life.
The average person inhales over 35 pounds of air every day. Yet we seldom think about how to rid the air of pathogens swiftly and safely when we need to. The Genesis Fogger Plus HOCL is the only way to quickly and naturally restore air to its optimal condition. Visit genesisfogger.com/outloud for a free ebook on everything you need to know about HOCL and receive a 15% discount on the Genesis Fogger with promo code OUTLOUD. With Genesis, you'll be ready for what's next.
And we're back. We have Dr. Peter McCullough, and we have John Leek, his co-author and true crime writer, and we have Dr. Peter Bregan, and I'm Ginger Bregan.
Peter McCullough. Oh boy, oh boy.
Just a quick update on SARS-CoV-2 infection, COVID-19, the illness. We are seeing an upswing in cases, as on Fox News, in the last week or so on the Ingram angle. Interestingly, it's blue states, largely up north, the most heavily vaccinated U.S. states are having the most cases. This is exactly what we've seen in other countries that are keeping fair assessment of this. In province in Ontario now, the majority of people in the hospital with COVID-19 are fully vaccinated. Just a call again for early treatment in the last week or so. I've used the Lilly monoclonal antibody, tortolibimab. I've used the new Pfizer drug, Paxlovid. We're still using plenty of ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine, corticosteroids. There are a few patients who will get more severe symptoms, typically our elderly patients. They need treatment. The hospitals are largely empty, and this will be the case. Laura Ingram was making a big deal out of this, that really hospitalization should be the metric, particularly since there's no control over duplicate testing in the United States, and we're doing so many home tests, which are not tracked. So we really have to focus on hospitalizations. Fortunately, those numbers are low.
Well, I'd like to hear more about it. It's all breaking news. Do you have much more information, Peter?
I'll flip it over to John for just a comment about this new viral attack, monkeypox.
Yeah, this is something that we can't say we're entirely surprised that it's being represented as this grave threat that requires massive purchases of a vaccine. It's really the script that we've seen before. The thing that I thought was most remarkable was that in March of 2021, so over a year ago, the Munich Security Conference had a co-partner, another organization that looks at emerging infectious diseases, possibly used as in the form of a terrorist attack, and they actually did a sort of war game last year in Munich, in which they imagined or they predicted. Let me rephrase that. They simulated an emerging infectious disease outbreak, and the date in which this was in their simulation going to arrive was May the 15th, 2022, and the pathogen was monkeypox. So there was a pandemic simulation over a year ago that predicted the date of the arrival of monkeypox almost to the day. It's like these guys have a crystal ball. So this is the kind of strange, almost eerily prescient communications and preparations that we reviewed in our book about SARS-CoV-2. And here we see the script unfolding again with monkeypox.
It's almost an exact replay in terms of the timing and so forth, the tabletop exercise first and then the actual disease next.
Right. Let me pick up on some practical things with monkeypox, though. It's a part of an orthopox family with smallpox, cowpox, camelpox, monkeypox. There's a lot of cross immunity there. Remember, the vaccinia vaccine actually, it's actually cowpox that covers smallpox. So there's a lot of coverage. So the first thing I want everyone to know is that people over age 50, which I think is everybody on this call, were very likely to have had the smallpox vaccine. So it's estimated we actually have considerable coverage for this. Cases are emanating out of the Congo Basin. It's been reported among gay men with lots of face-to-face contact. It's a pustular syndrome, easily recognized large vesicles and pustules. There's a long latency phase. It's almost mainly a cutaneous infection, not a respiratory infection. We have, for people who came in contact with someone, there could be a few listening. We do have a treatment. It's called TPOX or tocovirimab. And this is a drug that's been FDA approved to treat smallpox, almost certainly will cover monkeypox. New England Journal of Medicine paper looked safe and well tolerated. So the U.S. has a 2 million dose stockpile of this. And additionally, the government quickly announced, with I think just one or two cases in the United States, purchase of a live attenuated vaccine from a vaccine manufacturer to the tune of over 10 million doses, if you can believe that. So as a practicing internist and cardiologist, I guess I'll be on the watch for this. I'm not too worried. If I am, I'll give a call to the CDC and get a shipment of a TPOX, and I think it'll work out fine.
This is an amazing unfolding of a story. You know, in our book, COVID-19 and the the Global Predators, we go back to Bill Gates' announcement 10 years before COVID broke out, saying that it was the decade of the vaccines. He's probably the richest man in the world at the time, certainly one of them. He was working at the time with Anthony Fauci, who he put on his vaccine board. He was working with Klaus Schwab. He made the announcement through Klaus Schwab's World Economic Forum at Davos. He was within 2 years, by 2012, he had gotten the UN to pass a General Assembly acknowledgement of the necessity of the vaccine industry working with the UN, which one disillusioned progressive said is fascism. That's not what our UN, which is supposed to be Marxism, is about. It's fascism to have them working with Bill Gates and Klaus Schwab. So I think it's a very important overview to realize that 12, 13 years ago, back in 2010, Bill Gates, the most powerful of global predators as a single individual, a billionaire, he's not as powerful as Xi Jinping, with whom he has shockingly close personal relationship, that he was telling the whole world of billionaires to get together with him for a decade of predation, for a decade of investing in vaccines for diseases that, by the way, we'll be predicting for you as we go along. And by 2015, way ahead of what most people realize, the Johns Hopkins and other groups were predicting it was going to be a SARS-CoV-2. And those SARS-CoV-2s were being made way back, going back, say, 2003-04, in labs in China and then in labs in the U.S. and funded by Fauci. So we have a really important thing to look at, which is that for more than a decade, some of the wealthiest, most powerful organizations in the world, the WHO, the UN, many, many drug companies and trusts and people working with Bill Gates and Klaus Schwab, and also with the support of the Chinese communists who support everything at the UN or it doesn't happen. They support everything at WHO or it doesn't happen. That these groups working together were setting up the world for what now looks like an endless number of vaccines that are going to do far more harm than good, but make the elites, this group that we, you know, that we've, the world has spoken about for a long time as the elites or the new world order or the Schwab call it, the Great Reset, that this group is predating, using the vaccines and getting more wealth and much, much more power. So, I mean, we're really looking at something quite colossal here. I'll give Ginger any thoughts on that? Or?
No, I think the one thing I can add is a tantalizing thread on this whole issue that I haven't had the chance to pull on yet. And that is that in 2019, I believe it was a Milken conference, Rick Bright from the U.S. administration at that time, and Dr. Fauci, and a number of other heavy hitters in regards to the vaccine industry met together in order to discuss how they could open up the vaccine field. And their interest was in kicking the door down to be able to bring mRNA vaccines in one after the other, not just on one thing. And they were talking about ways in which that could be done. There was no conclusion that I recall, but that's still a thread we need to look at, because these gentlemen were saying, we've got all of this data and all of this possibility here. If we can just get past the censors, so to speak, get past the authorization and the FDA approval and so forth. And they wanted to really get rid of that. It takes 10 years to authorize and approve of a new kind of a vaccine. And boy, have they done that.
Yeah, 10 to 20 years. Yeah, go ahead, Peter.
No,
that,
John.
That Milken conference, we recreate that or give an account of that in our book. There was a very notable exchange in that conference where the moderator, Michael Spector, who is a staff writer about scientific affairs for The New Yorker. Michael Spector, he keeps asking variations of the same question. You know, isn't it kind of a pity that we don't have, I mean, it seems that there isn't sufficient motivation to launch these new messenger RNA technology onto the, you know, the stage from kind of the R&D shelves to actual deployment. It seems that the only thing that would be sufficient to motivate a real investment in this new technology would be, you know, a pandemic disaster. And he actually goes as far as saying, you know, in the long run, you know, amortized over time, would it have been a better thing for mankind if this flash in the pan swine flu in 2009, would it have been better for humanity if that had been a far bigger and more virulent and more destructive pandemic? Because then it would have launched this new technology, given the impetus to really bring it to fruition. So it's a rather remarkable thought that he expresses, that we need a big disaster, a global health catastrophe, in order to provide sufficient impetus to launch these new vaccine technologies. So Ginger, you're right. I mean, it feels like these interested parties, I compare them to the military industrial complex that President Eisenhower warned about in his farewell address of 1961, that, you know, you have these institutions, the military, the Pentagon, the Department of Defense, the weapons industry, and they are so interested in expanding and furthering their enterprise that they've become voracious. And the threat posed by foreign military forces, instead of looking for constructive ways to diffuse this threat through diplomacy and other methods, there seems to be a sort of perverse desire to increase the threat of military conflict in order to further and expand the interests of the military-industrial complex. So we see a similar analog in the biopharmaceutical complex, where infectious disease threats are characterized as opportunities. It's not something that's going to inflict just great suffering and harm to mankind. It's a great opportunity to expand the portfolio of technology and investment.
This is really interesting to me. I think it's a tremendous insight, John. It's like, it's almost like there's a vaccine industrial complex. And, and there kind of was one even before all this happened. I was just beginning to research it. I did my first publication on vaccines, finished it just before COVID started, because I was beginning to see that there are these power groups. And you mentioned the military industrial complex. There's a banking complex that overlaps with them that is enormously powerful. There's an agricultural complex, and there's a lot of dovetailing between all these groups. And I've been thinking more and more about exactly the point you raised just now, which is, all right, let's start talking about these real, well, what I'd call them empires. What are these empires that are vying for control over the world, many of them interlocking? I think the first empire, the first division I now make, which is a bit ahead of where we were in our book, COVID-19 and the Global Predators, but it's just a better description, is we have now we've got a Western and an Eastern empire that are facing off. The Western one sort of represents capitalism, but it's a very predatory capitalism that's very progressive and Marxist in many ways, but it originates out of the West and out of Bill Gates and Klaus Schwab and out of the big industries that are typical of the West and the big trusts that are typical of the West. And then we have the Eastern, which is the group that is really headed by Xi Jinping. It's the Chinese Communist Empire. People have made this enormous mistake in our State Department, throughout our intelligentsia, our elite, purposely really saying that China is this self-contained organization. It doesn't want to reach out. No, China has got the history of the most powerful empires imaginable going back to prehistory. They had empires. And combine that with Marxism, which from day one has been an empire. The communism is a worldwide attempt to overturn all the existing institutions and to replace them with really a lot of murder and destruction and dictatorships and so on. So we've got the Eastern and the Western empires, and they all come together right now through the World Health Organization, which has played such a great role for the predators, both the East and the West. The World Health Organization, that it is tooling up under their auspices now to give some killer blows to the Western democracies that we will talk about in the third segment. So stay tuned for being really on the cutting edge of what's happening in the world today.
While many things we hear are lies, we know one thing is true. Viruses exist and people get sick. Look, there's no guaranteed way to keep from getting sick, but there is a way to reduce your chances. Cofix RX, the original povidone iodine-based antiviral nasal spray that you hear Dr. McCullough talking about, provides an additional, invisible layer of protection from colds, flu, coronaviruses, and more. Click the banner ad on AmericaOutloud.com and use promo code OUTLOUD for 20% off. Stay protected with Cofix RX.
As Americans, we seek to form a more perfect union. To paraphrase Abraham Lincoln, we are a government of the people, by the people, and for the people. And God willing, we shall not perish from the earth. AmericaOutloud.com. Liberty and justice for all.
Oral hygiene hasn't changed in 50 years, but our diet and the way we eat has. creating an environment in your mouth for bacteria to wreak havoc on your teeth and gums. For better oral health, get Spry Dental Defense, an oral care line designed to combat acid-creating bacteria. The toothpaste, mouthwash, mints, and gum all contain xylitol, a natural ingredient shown to dramatically improve oral health. Spry can be found online and at all fine natural retailers.
Well, welcome back to America Out Loud, The Pulse, with Peter McCullough and John Leake as our guests. And I'm Peter R. Bregan, MD. Want to get that MD in because this is a series, a weekly series. We're on Thursdays at 5, and Peter McCullough with Malcolm, the head of America Out Loud, is on Wednesdays. We have just a great lineup. And in my brief comments earlier, I talked about, in the end of the second segment, this growing empowerment of the World Health Organization. I believe that the global predators, both Xi Jinping and the group roughly under Bill Gates, Klaus Schwab, and others in the West, the EU playing a powerful role, along with other Western organizations, that there's been a discovery of how effective the World Health Organization has been during COVID-19 in getting the nations of the world through their public health departments and their health organizations to impose authoritarianism and totalitarianism upon the world. Because these empires aren't just out to get wealthy. A lot of them have wealth coming out of their ears. They hardly need a new car or a new mansion or a new string of industries. They want power.
And power means a lot of things, including owning pieces of the world, not just a car or a mansion, but lots and lots of land and every other kind of natural resource that you can think of. And in order to own those kinds of entities, you need to be able to control populations, because otherwise populations are going to go ahead, as human beings always have, and use the blessings we've been given on this planet.
You've been looking more and more into, and we'll talk some more later, folks, about the new move to incorporate nature. And that will eventually be collectivistic in its nature as it comes under this very large umbrella now of progressive global predators, communist global predators, capitalist global predators, all of them having in common, wanting to do what all these empires have always done, folks. I've been studying it from way back now. They always take advantage of the weaker and the poorer. They always get glittery, glorious wealth and power at the expense of serfs, of slaves, of ordinary citizens, of the poorer nations and of the poor in every nation. Fall prey to these people, exploited by these people. The latest thing we're looking at that's going on right now is happening in Geneva, and it is the efforts of the United States to get the World Health Organization, which they very much want to do with America, to change the governing rules, the international health regulations that set limits on the power of WHO and the power ultimately of the Director General Tedros, who is a Marxist thug, now put into his second and unopposed 5 years power over the world health by Xi Jinping, literally unopposed. These people are so close. And these amendments, which may have come to a vote by the time we're heard in the next day or two, or may be still under debate, will empower Tedros to be able to take actions against any nation in the world, declaring the nation to have a possible theoretical potential as yet undefined global health emergency. It is that ill-defined and that much total power. And unlike anything beforehand that's gone on, with the new amendments, there will be no restraints. The Tedros will be able to declare these emergencies and make them legally binding on all members of the UN, and to do so without permission and even against the will of the individual nation. In the past, the UN and WHO could do nothing without the permission of the nation. So our nation, under Joe Biden through HHS, Health and Human Services, now has these up for a vote. The vote may have occurred or may not by the time you hear the show, but it is but the first step. And the second step is they are going to try to get nations to sign actual treaties. And these treaties are a separate issue. Don't get confused. People are talking about the treaties as if they're the same thing as the amendments. The treaties are very different. They're actual national binding treaties that WHO wants to make, setting up WHO as the central authority. These are the words of WHO, the guiding authority, the authority over the architecture of global health.
I'd like to ask Dr. McCullough to comment on what the problems are with having a single source, any single source, such as Tedros and the WHO, as the dictator of health for the entire planet.
You know, all healthcare is personal between the patient and their doctor and the healthcare team. It's always administered locally. And healthcare, I've traveled all over the world. I've been to China, I've been to the African continents, Middle East, Russia, Canada, South America, Europe. I've been all over. And I can tell you, healthcare is so vastly different from region to region. The idea that individual localities and authorities would abrogate their responsibilities and defer to the World Health Organization, you know, on paper sounds like a disaster. The legally binding nature of this, the flows of undisclosed amounts of money to the World Health Organization, should be deeply troubling to anybody looking at this. I think the initial drive here is going to be use of these 16 vaccines that are deployed right now. And they're vastly different. You know, in the East, people are being subjugated with the Sinovac or CoronaVac vaccine. It's not a genetic vaccine. It's a killed virus vaccine. It doesn't work. It's somewhat toxic. In the West, we're menaced by these genetic vaccines, which are just loaded with all kinds of short-term and then longer-term consequences. What I see is a phase of hyper-vaccination as a way of subjugation of the population, then linked to a social credit score and some way of tethering each individual into the concept of social credit and a one world order.
I think that's a brilliant insight, yes. Peter. I've not been particularly emphasizing that because so much is going on in other arenas, but I think that is their weapon right now. And that was declared 12 years ago, and it's still their weapon, that to take over the world through vaccination.
And we see these vaccine passports already in practice in some portions of the world, China, remarkably, and especially it uses vaccine passports already. And of course, they don't just relate to vaccines. They relate very quickly to social credit scores, what you're saying on your social media. If it's not particularly okay with the authorities, you don't get as many permissions to do things, to travel, to do other things as one might if you're really towing the line.
Yeah, I want to say, while I'm thinking of it, that we have just recently totally changed our website, and we have tried to reorganize it in a way that we can give you key phrases. So to get all the information from our recent write-ups, 304 write-ups on what is going on with the World Health Organization, and in particular with the amendments and the treaties, you can go to www.123newsflash.com. 123newsflash.com. You see how much I need Ginger there. She created this 123newsflash.com. I think it's a brilliant way. You can go right there to get the latest information that we've been writing about. And I also just taking a breather now to remind people that we're talking with Peter McCullough and John Leake, the authors of this very, very important book, The Courage to Face COVID-19, Preventing Hospitalization and Death While Battling the biopharmaceutical complex. It's up on Amazon.com now and is one of the major contributions to our understanding of what's happening in the world today, and one of the very newest and most up-to-date publications with new material in it. Really a tremendous team that we're learning about, Peter A. McCullough and John Leake.
Yes. I have one piece of housekeeping, which is I'm informed that there are a number of people who have written in to the Pulse asking what can they do in regards to this World Health Organization attempt at taking over healthcare. And if you go to that website of ours, 123newsflash.com, you'll see there's a button at the top, and that will take you to a website that can help you to connect with all of your federal and some state representatives about the World Health Organization, and especially one of the particular aspects of that particular petition is to defund the World Health Organization and stop giving its federal U.S. tax funds. So 123newsflash.com, the petition button, and that gives every individual something that they can do to help. The other things you can do are write to your local media, be active on social media, talking about these issues, and inform your friends and neighbors and so forth. And then I think we should hear more from our guests.
Well, not quite yet. I want to tell folks, and by the way, I'd like the last 4 minutes to be devoted to your new book, Dr. McCullough and Mr. Leake. But I want to tell folks that as of now, there is a rumor that you may have already heard before listening to this show, that the World Health Organization is already pulling back from the bombardment that we have participated in so strongly. The top paper on 123newsflash.com has gone around the world, and it's been around the Senate and the House, and it's been going everywhere. But there's a rumor that they're pulling out of all, they're withdrawing all of the amendments except the last one, which is simply about shortening the time period which people have to, who are members, to change their votes. The usual grace period is not 18 months, and they're trying to reduce 6 months. In itself, an assault against democracy, I think. But listen, if that rumor is still there, we cannot accept it. We have to keep fighting and make sure that this happens, if at all possible. And then we have to keep fighting politically with all our might against the new treaty and against everything that's going on, both in this vaccine war against us and in this mighty attempt to give overpowering authority to the World Health Organization.
It really steals America's sovereignty, yeah, and that of every other nation.
So tell us a bit more about the book and some of the unique qualities that the Courage to Face COVID-19 has. Peter, John?
I think that your listenership should be aware that I tell this story, Dr. McCullough and I tell this story following the conventions of narrative nonfiction, we try to bring the reader into the point of view of Dr. McCullough and his colleagues. As first they scrambled to understand the enemy, SARS-CoV-2, and to discover treatment modalities to prevent hospitalization, they quickly realized this is very risk stratified, the illness. There is an initial period where it produces something like common cold symptoms, and they realize that is the time to intervene before the patient gets really sick and lands in hospital. That's the golden window. So I think that the reader should come to this book with, you know, with the understanding and anticipation that we really tell the story as it unfolds. And we tell the story of patients who seek treatment. There are the happy endings where they find a doctor like Dr. McCullough and his colleagues and are pulled back from a real emergency situation. And then, of course, we have the tragic stories in which patients and their families desperately seek treatment, but are, for reasons that we explore in the book, are denied treatment. And actions that just seem absolutely a complete flouting of the Hippocratic Oath and with 21st century medical practice. So it's a very dramatic and poignant telling of the story. I really wanted to, Dr. McCullough is a very modest man. I wanted to focus on his personal journey, starting as a treating doctor in Dallas, Texas. Ultimately, his journey takes him into the realm of becoming a public figure and finding himself on the stage in front of the Lincoln Memorial, addressing the nation at the beginning of 2022. So it's a journey of a brave and imaginative and talented doctor from being a medical man to really a public figure and a figure of great moral authority.
We feel we have stood among giants these last 2.5 years working with the physicians and scientists that we've been in touch with and that we've worked with, Dr. McCullough, Dr. Zev Zelenko, Dr. Lee Vliet, and so many more.
And don't forget, become a source of love. That is what this is all about. Freedom, love, personal responsibility. And we thank all of you out there for being such a wonderful audience at these important times in all of our lives. Bless all.